This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Bad Pants Open at the Clubs of Kingwood. This is the Charlie Polillo Show, presented by Tri-Eagle Energy on ESPN 97.5 and on SportsMap 94.1. Here's Charlie Polillo.
Man, what weather to be out here today. Have I mentioned that yet? Boston, the music bump back. Get it? Phil Steele after the top of the hour, our Thursday college football preview setup. Astros, Red Sox in this segment, as the majority of them these days. Sox beat guy perspective. Rob Bradford covers the Sox full-time for WEEI.com in New England. Let me update the weather. Doppler 97.5. It's going to be cool, but it shouldn't be miserable. Latest forecast says rain earlier in the day Saturday, so they'll just cover it. Hopefully it blows through by the time batting practice is ready to start. Temperature, though, will be falling through the 50s, maybe into the upper 40s during the game Saturday. And then Sunday, no chance of rain. It will be in the low 50s for the game. So for mid-October baseball in New England, that's just fine. All right, with that, we welcome Rob Bradford on the beat for WEEI.com. All things Sox joining the program. Rob, Charlie here in Houston. And let me ask with this. Is there much hue and cry over the schedule down here? Say, Houston never gets respect. The Astros-Indians game one was in the afternoon. Astros-Sox game four being scheduled as a night game is actually going to overlap, almost coincide, in fact, with the Rockets season opener that night also at home. And now Sox Astros game two is going to run about half, I guess, overlapping with a pretty interesting Sunday night football game up there.
Yeah. I think that's for us, that's the biggest thing, is that it opens up the debate, which is more important. Why are they doing this? You're going up against the Patriots game on Sunday night. Who's going to get the ratings? Like, all of it. That is the conversation around here. It opens it up. And MLB, you know, the thing is with MLB, they usually, with the Red Sox, they put them at night. They did it all year long. If they could find a way to squeeze the Yankees or the Red Sox in the Sunday night, they did. So it's a little strange when it comes to this stuff. They're not very creative, and I think that's a key here.
Yeah, the football is going to win the ratings. I think that's just how it works. It's game two, right? It's not game six or seven, so I would expect the Patriots to carry the night up there. But let's get to the on-field components. It's not exactly teacher versus pupil, I don't think, Rob, but A.J. Hinch, matching wits, if you will, against his former bench coach, Alex Cora. What would you suggest Cora's biggest impact on the Sox this year?
Well, I think changing the whole vibe, for lack of a better term. I mean, it's basically the – I think we underestimated how much the clubhouse needed sort of the overhaul. And for better or for worse, I mean, this is unfortunate for John Farrell, a guy who won 93 games back-to-back years, won division in back-to-back years, is a pretty good manager. But the way that the clubhouse is set up, the personalities in there, they wanted a change, and they got the change. And you go up and down throughout that clubhouse, they said that is one of the biggest differences, is that they needed someone like Alex Cora in there. And but you know, Cora has done more than change just the clubhouse dynamic and maybe been a little more approachable for the players. He's really overhauled a lot of things when it comes to this team. And the analytics department is much more prevalent than it ever was the last couple of years. And just the way that they go about things, in terms of the way he goes about things, there's a little more transparency. There's a little more self-deprecation. And I think that the players and the media probably appreciate that. It never hurts when you win. It's like Bill Belichick, right? Bill Belichick doesn't say anything to media, and everyone's like, oh, look at him. He's so great at dealing with the media. He's really keeping the R's blank. Well, yeah, he can do that because he wins. He couldn't do it in Cleveland because he didn't win.
Mm. I would guess that still Cora's impact and imprint would have to be judged second best among offseason acquisitions behind another guy with the Astro ties and J.D. Martinez. Let me ask it this way, Rob. If Astros fans were told, you can protect one player, someone is going to have an awful series or is going to go down injured, who's the guy that you're putting in a safe house? Here now would be Alex Bregman. With the Red Sox, is it Martinez or Betts you think is more essential to their overall lineup productivity in a series?
You know, during the regular season, I would have said Martinez, and maybe, you know, it's very close. But Mookie is such a dynamic player defensively. We saw that a couple times in the New York series. He sets the tone offensively at the top of the order. And but I will say this, is that one lesson that the Red Sox thought they learned in the games at Fenway and really last year playing the Astros is that you have to hit some home runs in order to keep pace in the postseason. What? The Astros in their postseason run hit like 27 total for the entire run. There's no coincidence that they won. And you could feel that last year where the Red Sox had to string together like 10 singles. And then here comes the three-run homer from Altuve or Bregman or somebody. So I think that they do need that guy to help them keep pace. But if I had to choose one of the two just because of the defensive aspect of it, I'd probably pick Mookie.
All right, in terms of depth of the lineup, which also boosted the Sox this year, how do you think Cora plays it? It's not a straight platoon situation, it does not appear. It'll be righty-righty, presumably Keuchel lefty in Game 3, Moreland, Pierce at first, Kinsler, Brock Holt, Rice University X at second, Nunez's leg, Rafael Devers might just be a better option against right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, well, you know, we try our best to guess what he's going to do. But when you sit the guy who hit had the first postseason cycle in history, and you sit him the next day in Brock Holt, the guessing days are over. And, I mean, you're going to be right maybe 50% of the time. And I think that he has the flexibility of some guys here. Now, everyone was clamoring for Holt. He was the hottest hitter in September. He obviously stayed hot the other day. But, you know, then he doesn't start, and Kinsler goes in there and has a big hit and plays good defense. So I don't think they can go wrong right now because I do think that you look at third, you have Nunez and Devers, different skill sets, sure, but both are playing pretty well. Kinsler and Holt, same deal, catching position. Sandy Leon won't get a hit ever. I mean, if you go look at his numbers, he doesn't ever get a hit, but the pitchers love throwing to him, one of the best defensive catchers in the game. Then you have Vasquez, who played the last couple games and played pretty well. So the biggest thing is all these guys are interchangeable, but the most important thing is that they're playing well and they're contributing. And he hasn't had to get uncomfortable in terms of just benching a guy because he hasn't played well.
Talk with Rob Bradford, WEI.com, full-time on the Sox beat. To some pitching stuff, Rob. Chris Sale, obviously, the easy game one decision. A good start, then 3 days rest, a tremendous eighth inning in relief, so 3 days rest from that. But given the relative lack of work the last couple of months, how deep against an Astros lineup that can wear you out, run pitch counts, how deep do you think they're hoping to get from Sale, plausibly?
Five innings, honestly. And then this is sort of what we see with starting pitchers anyway in the postseason. But you look at what Porcello did, for instance, the other day. This is a guy who is perceived as a workhorse. And he had the relief outing in game one. He comes back, pitches really, really well, but he goes five innings. Because I think there is an element of not only are you pitching that extra day like Porcello and Sale did, but you're also emptying the tank a little bit more than you would be used to early in the game. And then you get into the matchups after that. And obviously the Astros have an advantage over the Red Sox with that. The Red Sox are still trying to figure out their bullpen. But with Sale, realistic, I think five innings.
What do you think of going with Price in game two? I really thought Cora would consider, well, maybe he did consider and just didn't go that way. After the debacle in Game 2, you know, maybe avoid the crowd. Let him start Game 3 at Minute Maid Park. And Eovaldi, I know, was terrific in Game 3 at Yankee Stadium, but after joining the Sox, basically, he was excellent at Fenway, terrible on the road. What do you think, or how's it playing going Price Game 2?
I think that their view of Price is a whole lot different than everybody outside that clubhouse's view of Price. And I think for me, and I think that it's how they're thinking too, we can focus on Price in the postseason and all of that, but really the bigger issue was the Yankees. He could not pitch against that Yankees lineup with Judge in the middle of it and Sanchez and these other guys. I mean, he could not do it, and he especially couldn't do it at Yankee Stadium. I'm not saying the Astros don't have the same level of lineup the Yankees. It's just different. There is something about the Yankees lineup that David Price could not respond to. So I think they understood that, and they're hoping, they're banking on that they get the Price they did against the Astros when he came in relief last year. And we can't forget, you know, that David Price was their best pitcher in the second half. He was really, really good, except when he pitched against the Yankees. So I think that's what they're banking on, and I think they, again, I come back to it. They have a lot more confidence in David Price, I think, than anybody else in this world.
All right, and on that bullpen, obviously Craig Kimbrell's the closer no matter what. Couple of shaky outings, well, maybe a two-run lead. You got to walk Judge, so he hits the home run, but then it got a little more dramatic than anyone would have hoped up there in the clincher. So a scintilla of concern with Kimbrell, and then how do you characterize the bridge from starter to pen these days? To Kimbrell, these days.
It's weird. It's weird because, you know, Kimbrell was the one guy that you really weren't worried about. And now you have to be a little concerned. You gave up the home run to Judge. Yeah, you came back and struck out the side in that first game, fine, but you still gave up a home run. And then the last outing, I don't know what that was. That was just his right arm was, it was like it has a faucet turned onto it. I think that being in that stadium for any human being, that was a lot of pressure. You're coming in against the middle of that order, and no matter you're Craig Kimbrell or anybody, I think he felt it a little bit. But still, you have some concerns, and the concerns remains about the pitchers leading up to it. Like, listen, there's a reason Chris Sale came in the eighth inning. Yeah, sure, Matt Barnes came in, he did his job, and Ryan Brazier came in, he did his job, but you were one short of guys that you were confident that were able to pitch an inning there. So I think that, you know, they're still going to have to get some guys to prove it, whether it's Joe Kelly or whether it's Heath Embry or one of these other guys. They have performed. They performed pretty well in the Yankee series, but this is a whole nother level now. We'll see what happens.
Rob, to close it, let me preface it with this. Unless actually wagering baseball series predictions are meaningless, the structure of the sport. That said, you have a gut or a head call throwing a dart on how this plays out?
Yeah, I think the Astros in six, and you know, I just look at it. When the Astros came into Fenway this year, they played with more confidence than I remember any team. And the Indians sort of struck me in the same way, but they played with a lot of confidence. And by that, I mean obviously they're a talented team, but you know, Fenway, even the regular season, can be a daunting place to play, not only because of the crowd, but because of the dimensions and everything else. But they were flying around. They really played with a lot of confidence. Right now, that's how I feel, just because I think that the Astros are rolling and they do have the better bullpen. But it comes back to the Red Sox. Are you going to be able to get a couple guys hot like they almost did against the Yankees? And then you're on your way. I mean, I think it's going to be a great series. I really do. Last year, right away, the Red Sox were exposed for a couple different reasons. But I think there's a reason these teams have won so many games each, and we're going to see for that. That's going to be on display the next couple of days.
108 wins, and the underdogs are the Red Sox in this series. Rob Bradford, yeah, the cotton is tall. WEEI.com. Hey, much appreciate the time and insight, Rob. Maybe we'll catch up later in the series.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, we are way late to a break, so we'll get that polish off this hour. College football, first two segments of the noon. Phil Steele for that, and then some more Astros, Red Sox, and whatever else we choose to get in before we hand off to the usual suspects, 1 until 4 on ESPN 97.5 at 1 on SportsMap 94.1. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show. Just for the sake of getting another sponsor mention in, won't have time to even try to take calls until at least after Phil Steele. But that HR&P listener line, as a reference point for you, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. As we have it until 1, broadcasting outdoors on a glorious day in Kingwood and the whole Houston area. It's the 2018 Bad Pants Open. Actually, a little more on that toward the tail end of the show as well. 11:48 on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.